Praise the Lord. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just have a hang of a laugh here with that fella here singing that shocking song in church. And then we can be in the presence of God just worshipping like that. It's just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And I thought I'd tell you a wee story just before we get into our message about faith this morning. Did you hear about the lady who bought the parrot? And she was assured that it was a talking parrot. So she takes it home and she sets it up in a very special cage and waits. But the parrot doesn't say a thing. So she goes back to the pet shop and says, he doesn't talk. And so the pet shop owner says, well, what you need is a mirror. Yep, parrots like to look at themselves. That'll get them talking. So off she goes. She sets up the mirror, but the parrot doesn't talk. So back to the pet shop she goes and says the same thing. My parrot doesn't talk. I put in the mirror just like you said, but he doesn't talk. And so the pet shop guy says, what you need is a ladder. Yes, that's what you need. That'll get him talking. So she bought the ladder, takes it home, puts it in, and waits. Still no talking. So back she goes again to the pet shop and says the same thing. I put the ladder in like you said, but still he doesn't talk. So the pet shop said, what you need is a swing. Yeah, parrots love swings. That'll do it for him. That'll get it talking. That'll get him talking. So she buys the swing, takes it home, puts it in his cage, and waits. Next day she goes back to the pet shop and the owner sees her and he says, well, what happened? She says, he died. What? He died? Yes, he died. Well, did he say anything before he died? Well, yes, he did. Well, what did he say? He said, does that pet shop have any food? It's important to keep the main thing the main thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house. Thank you, Lord, for joy in your house. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for worship. Thank you that we can come and just enjoy the music and the worship and the singing and your presence, the freedom, Lord, the infilling of your spirit. Lord, there's so much to be thankful for in our day and age and in our nation. Thank you for being alive right here today. And Lord, we just pray now as we come around your word that you would just do something special, that you would deposit something divine and put a seed of faith in our heart that would be good for tomorrow, for next week, next month, next year. So thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray as a counselor you would do that for your glory. Less of me, more of you, Lord, today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're starting a short series on faith, and I've entitled it, How to Get the Best in the Worst of Times. And I'm sure that some of these things will be applicable to you, some of them won't. So pick out what is applicable. And we're reading from the story of where Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. And it's a fantastic story. And so let me just read it to you, verse by verse. Now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Now Jericho was only 15 miles from Jerusalem. And this was Jesus' last journey. He was on his way to the Last Supper and to his crucifixion. And as was common in those days for someone of noble standing or someone of high status in society or someone who, by reason of what they'd done, had gathered a great crowd, there was a lot of people around them. And so they were all traveling together on the road. In fact, that's how they taught many people. In fact, a lot of Jesus' teaching would have been in this manner. He would have taught his disciples as he taught, and as did many people. But a great multitude, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He may have been blind, but that sense was dead, but his sense of hearing was alive. We may have one sense not functioning that well, but our other senses can be heightened. This blind Bartimaeus, he knew about Jesus, he had heard of him, but more than just heard of him, he knew what he was and who he was. In fact, that greeting there, Jesus, Son of David, is a messianic term. It's for Jesus the Messiah, and he was wanting the Messiah to come and fix him up and deliver him from his state. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then, verse 48, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, so Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Wow. And commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. Even the crowds can be changed with a word of Jesus. And throwing aside his garment, verse 50, he came to Jesus. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, this is the New King James word, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Rabboni means my great one. So now it's changed from Jesus the Messiah, and there's a personal aspect to it. My great one. The one that's right before me now. What a transformation in his greeting. That I may receive my sight. In verse 52, then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Wow. Fantastic story here. A lot has been said about faith over the years. Of course, we Christians talk about it a lot. Preachers talk about faith, and some of it's great and some of it's not. Almost every religion has a doctrine of faith somewhere in their charters. The business world know a lot about faith. And people at large often talk about faith. So it must be an important subject, and it really is. It's in the Bible a whole lot. We read about the woman with the flow of blood in Matthew 9:22. And she pressed through, she had this urgent need, and she just knew that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And when she did, she was. And Jesus just simply said to her, your faith has made you well. And the story about blind Bartimaeus, Jesus just simply said, go your way, your faith has made you well. One of the 10 lepers who were healed, he came back to give the glory to Jesus, and he just says, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Faith is important. Faith is important. Derek Prince, that great teacher, said faith is taking God seriously. Wow. There's a whole lot in that statement. Faith is taking God seriously. But this story of blind Bartimaeus brilliantly brings to us a whole lot of stuff about faith. And it's perhaps more about what faith does than what faith really is. It's not my objective this morning to teach you what faith is. But I think sometimes as we look at what faith does, we learn what faith is. And we want to have a look at 7 things in this passage of scripture, so we'll have to move through them fairly quickly, about what faith does. And I trust that some of them will be helpful for you. Because here's Bartimaeus, sitting on the side of the road of life. Is that where you feel today? Sitting on the side of the road of life. He was crippled. Was he born that way? Was it an accident? Was it some kind of addiction? Was it some kind of circumstance that had put him there? Was it some disease? Was it people? Was it some business failure? Was it some grief? Or what was it that had put him there? Well, whatever it was that put him in there, it was his faith that got him out of there. And that's the key this morning. And whatever put him there, faith got him out. And as we've heard last week from Pastor Trevor, you know, sometimes before a testimony comes a test. And the faith test is one I do not like, but we always have a testimony after the test. And I think this guy had a pretty good testimony after his test, would you think? So let's dive right in now and have a look at these very quickly, these things. And we'll start verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." First thing that faith does is that it cries out to God. Faith cries out to God. Faith cries out to God. I've seen people in all sorts of difficult circumstances, and I've been there too, but, and the temptation is to bemoan our situation and to grizzle and complain, except cry out to God. The very thing we should do first is cry out to God when we're in a mess. He didn't bemoan the situation. He didn't lay the blame on himself. He didn't blame other people. Faith knows that the best answers come from God. And we all need to know that. The best answers come from God. And the first thing we should be doing, the first thing that hits, that we should respond to a crisis or any kind of situation, is crying out to God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator, the one who flung the stars and created us. The psalmist says in Psalm 34 verse 6, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him." Wow. Hebrews 12:2 simply says, "Looking unto Jesus, the pioneer," or the first, "the perfecter of our faith." Like a young son that is in his father's arms, he says, "Daddy, help me." We can cry out to God and he'll help us. So whenever you get in a jam, faith cries out to God. Number two, verse 48, first part. "Then many warned him to be quiet." Faith overcomes opposition. Whenever we try and do something for God, and I can tell you this, whenever we obey God, whenever we move towards God, there'll be opposition. We're going against the flow of this world. The devil is out to oppose and to thwart and to disrupt and to bring chaos and heartache to us. And he'll try all that he can in his arsenal of stuff that he's got to do that, to bring opposition. But Bartimaeus had a desperate need. He wanted to be healed and to get back on the road of life. When our faith target is right, and God will sort that out, then we too can get back on the road if we just overcome the opposition. There'll be opposition, so don't be surprised about it. When you start going on for God, when you start tithing, when you start praying, when you start living a righteous life, when you start obeying the speed limit, when you start doing some of these things, you know, the devil will try and thwart that and put all sorts of stuff in your program. Faith overcomes opposition. Number three, faith perseveres. Second part of verse 48. "But he cried out all the more, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" He cried out all the more, even though he had a desperate need, even though he had already cried out to Jesus. Notice what happened. Things got worse. There was more opposition. There was no answer from God. Let me take you to a great faith man in the scriptures in Romans. Abraham, the great mighty statesman of faith. Let me read some words to you here from Romans 4 and verse 19. "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead," and he was alive, if you know what I mean, "since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb." He'd been promised a child, and they were, you know, he was pretty ancient. I mean, can you imagine no, let's not go there. Verse 20, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced." Can you be any more convinced than fully? Like, as people say, I'm with you 110%. You can't be 110%. 100% is maximum. You just can't. It's like the throttle. It's on the floor or not. And you can't go through the floor. That's it. I know. I've tried. You know. "Therefore, it was, and being fully convinced of what he had promised, he was also able to perform it." So here's Abraham. He considered the problem, but not from an impossibility point of view, from a possibility point of view. In other words, he assessed the problem. He identified the issue, and then identified what God could do with the issue. Big difference. Big difference. Sometimes we need to sit down and evaluate our problem, evaluate our situation, evaluate our crisis. That's not a lack of faith. That's just identifying it. So, righto, God, this is what we've got. Now, what are you going to do with this? Makes a big difference. He got stronger in his faith. The problem didn't weaken him, but it actually strengthened him. Wow. He glorified God. What a great key in crises is to glorify God. One of the greatest things you can do when everything goes to is to glorify God. Just glorify God. He's worthy of it no matter what's happening. And he held on to the promises. I remember some time ago needing some orthodontic treatment for my daughter. I don't know if you know or not how expensive orthodontic treatment is. And we had not long been in Timaru, our first pastorate, and my word, I just have no idea how we paid those bills. Hey, darling. I have no idea. I would get home and just pray, God, we've got to do this for our daughter, I had no idea how we got through that time, but we did. All our bills were paid. All those bills were paid. And was there any time of any divine, miraculous provision? Not that I can recall. I just recall it as a time of perseverance where we had to push through and we got them all paid somehow. So remember, consider the problem, but the possibility of God in the problem. Get stronger in your faith. Persevere. Glorify God and hold on to the promise. Remember, faith perseveres. Number four, this is a very important one, and I feel this is a special word for some people today, back in Mark chapter 10, verse 49. Faith takes the divine opportunity. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. There's a moment in our lives, sometimes, when Jesus stands still before us and presents us with an opportunity. There was a time in this man's life when the healing he'd dreamed of for years was about to happen. What would he do? When the vision, when the dream that we've been seeking for so long, when that goal that we've been after is about to be released to us, what do we do? Over the years, I've seen people balk at the jump, like the show jumping horses. You know, they've been working their way up in the heights of the jumps, and we know they can jump, but they get to that jump, and the poor old rider falls off. Are we too fearful? Do we love the rut we're in? Jesus passes by and stops. Wow. One moment in history that can change our lives. An invitation. A job opportunity. A proposal. That course. Jesus comes and he stops before us. It's not that he won't give other opportunities later, but in this moment there's this thing that he stops before us for this time. That can change our lives, our history, our story, our destiny. And I believe that even in the coming days, some of you will have a moment like that, where there will be before you an opportunity, maybe a business opportunity or something, some proposal, something will come before you. And it's like Jesus is just stopping before you, and it will take faith to get it, yes. As my mother says, look before you leap, but don't forget to leap. It's like getting married. I mean, it's one of the scariest days of our lives, isn't it? I mean, it's scary, but it's great. You know, look before you leap. I mean, make sure that you've done all your research and you've done all your risk management studies. But then leap. Faith takes the divine opportunity. Number five. Verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Faith leaves the old life behind. Bartimaeus wouldn't need his beggar's clothes anymore. his garment, his mantle or his cloak, as different versions put it, was a symbol or a type, or it speaks of his covering, his authority to be in that place, his system of doing things. It was a symbol of his former life, and it was actually what he gathered his money in as well. It's actually what he gathered his money in. He threw it off. That's how decisive he was. He jumped up. He didn't stay there. He knew exactly what he wanted and when he had it, what he needed. He came to Jesus. He broke all ties with the past. That's what we need to do sometimes too. When Jesus calls, you come. And there is a cost to Christianity, let's be real. And sometimes it's some friends. Sometimes it's some lifestyle that we live. Sometimes it's some stuff that we do. Sometimes it's just issues that we just need to let go and release them. We just don't need them anymore. They are not helpful for our Christian life. There's a new means of income for us. This man was about to be healed, and his source of income was about to change. No longer would he need his old cloak to gather money. He could now see, which meant he'd be able to work. So his source of income was going to change. So before that happened, he left his cloak. And then he came to Jesus and then was healed. So there's a bit of a gap between leaving the cloak and receiving his sight. That's faith. That's trust. Faith leaves the old life behind. Verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Very good question. If Jesus were to stand before you and I today and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Oh, I'll have a BMW. Now, what would we say? He knew exactly what he wanted. "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Faith is specific. He knew exactly what he wanted. He had a vision of it. He'd tasted it. He'd handled it. He'd already lived in it. He'd already seen it and used it. Faith is like that, you see. Faith is specific. Faith knows exactly when it hasn't got it and when it has got it. And this is where faith has been misinterpreted and maligned, in my view. That, see, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, is a lot of things about faith that achieve these things. But they're all pretty specific things. We need to ask God for specifics, but with wisdom and grace and heart, a proper heart attitude. And God will sort those things out. I remember learning this truth just the other day. Well, it was a little while ago, actually. Well, no, it was a long, long time ago, as you will see by the illustration. I was learning this principle, and it was time for a new car in my life. And so I said, "Right, O Lord, I'm learning this principle of specifics, being specific in prayer. I'm asking you for a Mark 1 Cortina." Not just any Mark 1 Cortina, though. I knew, guys, a mechanic, you see, I knew that most Mark 1 Cortinas had bench seats and column change. But I knew that there were a very, very few, very rare models that had bucket seats and floor change. They were called government editions. I'd never ever seen one, but I'd heard them, seen photos of them. So I said, "Lord, I want a Mark 1 Cortina with a bucket seat and column change and a good body." That's exactly what I got. I got a Mark 1 Cortina with bucket seats, floor change, and it had a great body. But I forgot to ask for a good engine. The engine was absolutely shot. Totally had it. But it was no problem. Being a mechanic, I remember chuckling away all those hours fixing it all up. And I was just chuckling away. I think God was too. You know, we were just having a bit of a chuckle. I was laughing. You know, it must have been funny seeing if anybody saw me fixing it up. But that's what faith is. Faith is specific. Faith is specific. What are you asking for? Not to spend it on yourself, but for the glory of God. Finally, number 7, faith is on the move. Verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Notice he said, go your way. Man, there's a story behind that. Go your way. Not someone else's way, but go your way. You have a way. You have a calling. You have a destiny. You have an identity. You have a way for you. You have a plan and a purpose and a hope and a dream. There's a your way for you. And it's not the same as anyone. It's similar, but not the same. There's a your way for you. But notice here, it says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Bartimaeus received a specific faith target, and then he followed Jesus on the road, no longer sitting on the side of the road, no longer begging. Now he was on the road with Jesus. Don't miss that. He was now on the road with Jesus. You see, faith is not for self. Faith is for him. Faith is not is a kingdom thing. It's not for us, it's for him and other people. And this is where I've seen faith so confused. You know, let's believe for a BMW. Let's believe for a Rolls Royce. Well, yeah, okay, I suppose, but who's that for? Faith is for him. Faith is for kingdom. The only thing appropriate, the only worshipful response after this, after receiving his faith target, is to follow Jesus. Whenever we receive anything, it should drive us, it should motivate us, it should call us, it should just drag us closer to Jesus and his kingdom. We should be, whenever we receive a prayer answer and receive a faith target, it should drive us into the kingdom of God more than take us out. We should be there in that place. Faith is on the move. So I trust one of those seven things, or maybe all of them, has been helpful for you. But do you know what Charles Spurgeon once said about this? He said, where lies the secret strength of faith? It lies in the food it feeds on. I've discovered over the last year or so, post heart attack, that what we put in has a huge effect on our life. And I'm a new man because of it, and largely. What you take into your body, spiritually, physically, emotionally, affects every area of your life. So if you want faith, it comes from here. It comes from God's Word, the Bible. These great men and women of faith that we read about and think, wow, if only I had faith like they do. Well, maybe we should stick with them for 24 hours and see their prayer life and their reading life. Smith Wigglesworth never went 15 minutes, they say, without reading the Bible. He always had a copy of it on him somewhere. And I think it's the same. We possibly can't do that in our own lives. We've got jobs and things to work at. But it can be in our mind and in our thoughts and our lunch hour and other different places. But is there a regular time when we just come to God and his word and feed on his word so that faith can grow? So there's a few things. That's how to get the best in the worst of times. Heavenly Father, thank you today for the story of blind Bartimaeus that teaches us so much about faith. Lord, thank you for your word today, and we want to be people of faith, Lord. We want to go against the stream of this world. We want to be different. We should be different, Lord, because we are different. We're spiritual beings. You've transformed us. You've made us alive in Christ. We're kingdom men and women. We're kingdom sons and daughters. Oh God, would you help us in our daily lives be men and women of faith? Lord, we're challenged by, before a testimony there comes a test. But Lord, we know that as we feed our faith, we'll have that testimony, that answer, it will come. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, for any in this place today within the sound of my voice, that Lord, your word would come and encourage. That your word would come and bring faith and hope and joy again. Oh God, forgive us, Lord, for having faith targets to spend it on our own selfish needs. But Lord, would you help us and just adjust our attitudes where needed, that these faith targets, Lord, might be for your kingdom and for people. And Lord, I pray that as today, if there's any that are just walking towards you and yet to make that very first faith confession, Lord, that you would touch them and draw them by your Spirit. Lord, that's the very first thing, the starting point of our life, is making that first confession of Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray you'd draw. I pray you'd woo, Holy Spirit. I pray you'd heal and forgive and restore in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're looking up, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.